Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When you drive in the left lane below the speed limit and will not move over so the sinners can speed by, just let us go. You want to drive grandma style and hold up traffic? Well, then do it in the center lane or the right-hand lane. But to force people to go around you, some of us actually have places to go. I mean, you might not have a care in the world, but some of us have places to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Happy Thursday, little MJ. I mean, that makes me happy. Happier. I was already happy. This has been a fun show. I do not do well with sports trivia. Actually, I do better with trivia from other areas. So history or music or science. I am much better at, you go to like the trivia nights at a local bar. I love doing that. But I actually do better at the trivia questions that are not about sports history because it gets so jumbled in my brain that I forget. And this particular trivia question I stumbled upon when I was researching for my latest weekly column, and I thought it would be fun because it took me about 10 minutes to answer it. I did not cheat. I expect that you should not cheat either. If you miss the answer, well, I'll share it with you a little bit later this hour. But the question is the 8 NFL teams that have not tasted postseason action in the last 3 years. So no playoffs for 8 teams, which is a quarter of the NFL. 8 teams have been on the outside looking in the last 3 years. And there are a few of those teams that could still a possibility, snapping their postseason droughts or ending their postseason droughts. And so as I was doing my research, I was putting this piece into the column as well as a bunch of other need to know nuggets of information, need to know nerd alerts for these final 3 weeks, the dash to the finish line in the NFL regular season. So if you haven't checked out the column, please do, because here we are on the doorstep of week 15. It starts tonight with the Chargers at the Chiefs, the only two teams in the AFC with double figure wins, and they are competing for that AFC West championship. This game will go a long way to determining which team has to play in the wild card weekend and which team potentially gets to sit back and wait. I know the byes are another piece of the playoff puzzle that we have not yet settled. In fact, most of it, we have no idea, which is what I love. A mad dash in 3 weeks and still so much that has to be decided. So the column is on my show page. Oh, it's on my show page, After Hours CBS, but it's also pinned to the top of my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So a lot to get to this hour. Sometimes I get mad at myself when I pull a bonehead move and I tease a particular topic and I do not then get to it. So that's my faux pas. It's one of the things that I am constantly working on in my radio career. Do not tease the peeps if you're not going to pay off on the tease. And I remembered as I was driving home yesterday morning that I had teased baseball hot stove and then I never got to it. Dang it, Amy. And so I apologize for that. But I promise I will get to baseball hot stove coming up here momentarily. We are going to talk about that quarterback change in Baltimore. So you'll get the thoughts of both the head coach, John Harbaugh, as well as his longtime veteran QB, Joe Flacco. And the answer that Lamar Jackson gives about whether or not this is an awkward situation, he's a younger guy, so it's perfect. So we'll do that coming up in 15 minutes after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Why don't we start with Vegas? That way I can't possibly mess it up. We had some breaking news overnight from the baseball winter meetings. The big piece is that the Dodgers have agreed to a 3-year, $25 million contract with Joe Kelly. This is interesting because Joe Kelly threw 6 scoreless innings against Los Angeles in the World Series. He was a part of the Red Sox. And while, now this is also, if you go back a little farther, it's another really cool piece to this whole story. Joe Kelly almost did not make the playoff roster for the Red Sox. He was struggling. But Alex Cora put him on the roster, and he performed admirably in their playoff run. He only allowed a single earned run in 11 and a third innings pitched in the postseason for Boston. And then absolutely shut out the Dodgers in the 6 innings that he threw in the World Series. And this is a guy who has played for some iconic teams in baseball. Before Boston, the Cardinals. And now he's going to go to the Dodgers. And maybe as one of the first dominoes, not the only dominoes to drop among relievers, but we'll see whether or not this precipitates some more movement. But I think this is fascinating. The Dodgers couldn't get to him. They desperately needed bullpen help. I know they ended up winning the NL West, and I know they made it back to the World Series, but one of their glaring weaknesses was the bullpen. And even on in those stretches when Kenley Jansen was lights out, they still sometimes struggled in front of him. And so to bring in Joe Kelly, we'll see. We'll see whether or not he continues to be that same force that he was in the playoffs. But it's good for him individually. You perform well on baseball's biggest stage, and you end up with a 3-year, $25 million contract. They still have to confirm the physical, but Joe Kelly appears to be headed cross-country. Now, another reliever domino that dropped, the Mets are bringing back Jeurys Familia. Remember, he was with them and, of course, had to miss a bunch of games. He was suspended under baseball's domestic violence policy, and so maybe a black mark. I don't know. It's different in Major League Baseball, where it seems like you're almost out of sight, out of mind for a while, and then you return, and there's a little bit of a hub. It's different in the NFL because the spotlight on the NFL is so much hotter and more magnified, and very often the domestic violence and player behavior investigations, they actually transcend football. So they're not just a football story, but they become bigger than the sport. It's not the same in baseball. But Jeurys Familia, he ended up getting traded to Oakland before the deadline last year, and now he's re-signing with the Mets for more than Joe Kelly, 3 years, $30 million. So, yeah, another question you wonder, did they only want him specifically? Did they not feel like they could get Joe Kelly? Were they not interested in Joe Kelly? Was Kelly always ready to go to the Dodgers? So those are two pieces that have actually been breaking news since we came on the air just over 3 hours ago. So very active baseball Twitter right now with the hot stove. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed my conversation with Mike Ferrari from Seattle, we were talking, I mean, we talked about the Seahawks hot streak, and we also talked about them being awarded an NHL expansion franchise, which, by the way, thousands and thousands of people have already purchased season tickets. In like minutes, the tickets went on sale and they were gone. We talked about Seattle, too, and the fact that they are kind of ripping out all of the floors, all of the walls, leaving nothing except the foundation of their baseball team. They've traded away their veteran core, their biggest names, their best players. If you think about their ace in James Paxton, as well as their closer, Edwin Diaz. Robinson Cano, they were anxious to get rid of. But the names that you knew with the Mariners roster have now been shipped elsewhere. And what Mike said to us is that Seattle's front office is looking at the success of the Yankees, of the Red Sox, of the Rangers, even of the Indians, and thinking about the powerhouses in Major League Baseball, and that Seattle cannot compete. And so rather than spin your wheels and waste your time paying guys that you know aren't going to give you enough talent to be able to compete with the best of the best, well, then you might as well just rip it all out and start over and get cheap pieces and see if you can build. And they like the younger players they've gotten back. But that's kind of a, I think it's depressing for the fan base that hasn't made the playoffs since what, going back to 2001, is it, for the Seattle Mariners since they made the postseason? And now here you are starting out, you're not even into the new year, for heaven's sakes, and you already know this is going to be a rebuilding year. And so there's a lot of angst there, but only to point to the strength of some of the other teams, the kind of juggernaut teams that are expected to perform well again in 2019, though we can never take that as a guarantee. The Yankees and the Red Sox, always part of the conversation. Certainly, if you think about some of the other pieces that have dropped, the Phillies have been active. They're reportedly in on JT Realmuto, though the Mets are as well. And we'll see how this plays out. Patrick Corbin ends up with the Nationals. There aren't a ton of other starting pitchers, but I thought the Charlie Morton news was cool. For the Rays, generally they're a team that brings up the young pitchers from their farm system. They've had a great farm system over the years. And then as soon as they become extremely valuable, they trade them so they can get something in return. And it's like they have an age cap. They can't go over a particular average age. You don't often see them being active in bringing in free agents. But for Charlie Morton, he ends up getting 2 years, reportedly 2 years, $30 million. And they're looking at his resume with the Astros. He's a journeyman. He's played in a bunch of different places around Major League Baseball. But they're going to give him the money because they believe he can shore up their rotation. And I like bringing in that veteran presence. He's a late bloomer, so to speak. He's already in his 30s. He was part of their World Series win in Houston two World Series ago. And then last year had 15 wins and was a first-time All-Star. And so kind of cool to think about the impact that he could have. And then you remember, the Rays had 90 wins last year. I know that they didn't make the playoffs, but if you consider the division that they play in, it was a tall order. But still neat to see them being active. So those are some of the big names that you're hearing about. We're waiting on Bryce Harper. Of course, Manny Machado is about to start his tour. But it did not stop all the speculation on Wednesday. And did you see Scott Boras holding court? Thankfully, nobody sat on his lap that we know of, like Santa Claus at the mall at Christmas time. But he had a mass of reporters around him. I mean, crazy, the pictures. If you haven't seen it, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. But the photo from kind of the back of the pack is pretty amazing. And he is trying to sell his client. I'm not sure you need to sell Bryce Harper, but sell it without giving away too much. And I thought it was interesting what he had to say about where Bryce is looking.
Bryce is really open to the geography. What he's really looking for is the ownership to make sure that he has every opportunity to achieve his goals, to win a world championship, to play on competitive teams as best as baseball teams can be competitive annually, and all those things. So it's and obviously there's a lot of owners who believe their franchises can do that.
Bryce is open when it comes to geography. Is that true? You have to take everything an agent says with a grain of salt. I'm not saying that Scott Boras is a liar, only that agents generally will look through a positive lens, however it benefits their client. That's likely what you're going to hear. And that's his job. He gets paid handsomely for that. But I would like to think that Bryce is open to different options. And it certainly is going to have to be about the money. That's what Scott Boras is all about. Boras does not allow his clients to take hometown discounts, so to speak. He goes into this with the idea that if it's not the highest bidder, it's going to be pretty darn near close. And sometimes I wonder who makes the decision. Is it Boras or is it his client? But in the case of Bryce Harper, this is not only a career move, but a life-changing move. If he leaves the D.C. Metro, I mean, he just got married a couple years ago. He's still really young in his career. If it turns out to be a 10-year contract, I don't know if any team's going to give him that. But you're talking about the most important career decision for him. And I hope that he's open when you talk about the different geography. And so it was interesting to hear what Scott Boras had to say. He talked a little bit about dealing with the Yankees in free agency. But he used this really weird analogy. Actually, I wrote down in my notes, what? After I heard this from Scott Boras talking about dealing with the Yankees at this time of the year.
When the nurse walks in the room with the thermometer, the issue is not what the thermometer says that day.
The issue is, what's the health of the patient when they're ready to leave the hospital? So, and they're not ready to leave the hospital yet.
I feel like there's a much easier way to say that the Yankees are still percolating. They're not yet boiling on the hot stove. No? Is it just me?
And they're not ready to leave the hospital yet.
That took me a while to just, it was way too much brain power used in trying to process that example, that analogy from Scott Boras. Anyway.
The nurse walks in the
room. Okay, stop. I don't care about the nurse walking in. I don't want to know what she's doing with the thermometer. However, while we're talking about the Yankees, one of the greatest Brian Cashman quotes that I've ever heard. We must have the music. Brian, are you ready? Not Brian Cashman, the other Brian. You let me know when you're ready, Brian. Because if you have not heard this soundbite with Brian Cashman, he just gained a fan. Now, whatever. No one's fans of a general manager, fine. But the fact that Cashman has not only embraced the idea of the evil empire, but the fact that he is now using this kind of as a platform to talk about Yankees free agency, I am tickled pink, and I don't think we can hear this enough. Brian.
If something doesn't make sense today, doesn't mean it won't make sense tomorrow. And so, you know, all I can keep telling you is, you know, that you know where my current focuses are, but at the same time, you know, we're a fully operational Death Star.
I mean, this music just makes me happy. Between Michael Jackson to start the segment and Darth Vader music to end this particular segment.
Fully operational Death Star.
Yeah, with Brian Cashman knowing the way to this girl's heart. I mean, how can I lose on this Thursday morning?
Fully operational Death Star.
Uh-huh. It's music to my ears. Say it again, Brian. Say it again.
Fully operational Death
Star. Thank you! All right, you can find me on Twitter, ALAW Radio. If you haven't yet figured out the 8 NFL teams to not make the playoffs in the last 3 years, now a whole new round of you are sending me tweets. Also on our Facebook page, I love it. Bring it on. I stink at trivia when it comes to sports history, but this one I think is fun. It stumped a lot of people. I've had guys in the newsroom going nuts over it. Straight ahead, we're going to talk about this decision by John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens to keep the rookie as their starting QB. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
It's odd enough not to see Mike McCarthy on the sidelines for the Green Bay Packers for the first time in 13 years, almost 13 years. Just as odd to see a changing of the guard in Baltimore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. At least we had an easy easing into it because of an injury to the starting quarterback. However, it's now out there in black and white, and the head coach making the announcement on Wednesday.
I have one announcement to make regarding the quarterback situation. Joe is fully healthy, ready to go. He'll be a full participant in practice. He'll be up for the game. The starting quarterback will be Lamar. Joe will be the number two quarterback, and Robert Griffin will be the backup to those two guys, and we'll proceed with our game planning and play the game.
Well, I didn't have much of a reaction. I mean, John talked to him yesterday up in his office, and, you know, I mean, I guess my overall thought about it is obviously disappointed that, you know, I can't be part of this team in the same capacity that I have been for a long time, but always got to be ready and stay sharp and be ready for the call at any point.
For the first time in 11 years, a healthy Joe Flacco will not start a football game in the Baltimore Ravens uniform. This is the only franchise he's ever known. And side note, he's under contract through 2021. So you're probably looking at a major seismic shift here. However, for the first time in 11 years, he's going to be healthy and he's not going to be starting. Instead, John Harbaugh will stick with the rookie. And the Ravens are 3-1 with Lamar Jackson as their starter. But it's odd. It takes some getting used to because Flacco and Harbaugh together, fourth most wins in the last decade, 106 of them. And that includes a Super Bowl title and three AFC Championship games. And they have just a single losing season in their time together. So Harbaugh makes the announcement. Flacco admits, I'm disappointed. And then, of course, the media wants to press Harbaugh about the reaction. So this is kind of divide and conquer. See what kind of reaction you can get from the head coach who had to make what you presume would be a difficult choice considering their relationship over the last decade. And then reporters take that and run right back to Flacco.
Oh, Joe's been great. I mean, Joe's a leader. He's excited. You know, he's looking forward to having a role. You know, I mean, hey. Everybody wants to play. Every football player wants to have the biggest role they can possibly have. I'm sure Joe's no different. Robert's no different. Any player we've got feels the same way. But Joe's a pro. He's got class. He's got complete respect in the locker room. And listen, there's a very good chance we're going to need Joe Flacco and any other player that's in that role, a backup role, to win us a game. That's how everybody's a starter in the National Football League. And that, you know, that's just the way it is. That's a fact. And keep it simple, keep it about football, and let's roll.
It's part of the game, man. I've talked about it plenty of times. Every time you take the field, you there's obviously the risk of something like that happening, and it just is what it is.
Do you think that John Harbaugh went to Joe Flacco, or actually he summoned him to his office and said to Flacco, everyone's a starter in the NFL? Do you think that that's what he said to Joe? Hey, by the way, this is, it may look like we're starting someone else and you've lost your starting job, but actually everyone's a starter in the NFL, so don't feel like this is a demotion. Yeah, I'm going to say that's probably not the line he went with. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so what about the rookie? Of course, he wasn't the center of attention so much on Wednesday as this announcement was going on, because the big story is here that Joe Flacco has lost his starting job, even now that he's healthy. But I did think it was cute, his answer to the question. I mean, nobody's going to take it easy on you now, man. You're the starting QB. So does this create any type of awkwardness in the quarterback room?
No, Joe's still part of the team. You know, it's his team still, just like it's mine. You know, it's all of our team. We brothers. You know, we're here together each and every day. You know, we've been here since camp, putting our life on the line. You know, it's still his team, man. Ain't nothing changed.
Better to hem and haw a little bit and to stall and to give it a big long than to say something that you're going to regret. not really. Okay, yes it is.
No.
So, yeah, a change now at starting quarterback. Permanent. Well, I shouldn't say permanently. I take that back. But it's official now. It's not because of injury. It's because Lamar Jackson helps the Ravens control the ball. It helps them keep the ball away from their opponent's offense. It helps them to dominate time of possession, which then, of course, has the ripple effect on the defense, allows the defense to have fresher legs once they get later in games. And we've certainly seen the defense come up with some huge impact plays in this latest run. I know they lost last week in overtime, and Lamar definitely has to be more careful when it comes to protecting the football and fumbling the football, but I don't know how you can make a change after you've seen what the Ravens have done and how they've operated with him as the starter. So Ravens will stick with Lamar, and Joe will have to watch. That's going to be odd. The injury report quickly is brought to you by the Salt Institute. So let's take a look at a couple of injuries that will impact week 15. It's actually not Joe Flacco. He's completely healthy. But Carson Wentz, a major concern for the Super Bowl champion Eagles, who are now clinging to shreds of hope that they might make the playoffs. They're a game below 500, and so they're tied with a couple of other teams in the NFC. This weekend, they take on the Rams, but Carson Wentz did not practice Wednesday. He's got a bulky back, and there is actually one report out there from Ian Rappaport that he could miss the rest of the season, which would be a major blow, even if you do have an experienced backup. Also, as Week 15 kicks off tonight at Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs will be without wide receiver Sammy Watkins, and there's a chance they could be without their backup running back, Spencer Ware. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be a backup running back. He is supposed to be a backup running back, but no Hunt and potentially no Ware. So they're missing a few pieces, but Tyreek Hill still could be the center of what they do, along with Pat Mahomes. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything is better with a little salt. You can find out why at a little salt. MJ.org. I will offer up the answer to the trivia question. If you haven't heard it already, so you're still sending me your tweets, the 8 NFL teams who have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years. It's befuddling. I'm telling you, it takes some time. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Thursday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Steph, step back, far side, high off glass, missed the shot, and Monroe tips the ball to himself. Lowry, ahead to a cutting right, turns around, passes out to a wide open. Miles, three, busted. C.J. Miles has the Raptors leading by 23. 97-76, 21-point lead, turnaround, step back, fade. Wow. Lowry just punched it. The exclamation point, perhaps. Granted, 5:21 to go, but 99-76 is the score. 9 seconds to go. 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Pounding the ball into the floor, C.J. Miles, as the Raptors come to the Bay Area and pick up the victory for the first time since 2004, almost to the day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a convincing statement win for the Raptors, as if they need another one. But on the road in Northern California at Oracle against a Warriors team with both Steph Curry and Draymond Green, though Draymond is clearly not back in any kind of a groove yet at all. But Steph Curry, he's been back for a few games, and he could not hit the broadside of a barn. In fact, he and Klay, the Splash Brothers from downtown, a combined 2 of 13 against the Raptors. They never could get into a rhythm. The Warriors as a team were 6 of 26 from beyond the arc, and the Raptors essentially controlled this one wire to wire. So no Kawhi, no problem for the Raptors. And you hear Eric Smith on their radio network. Kyle Lowry, another brilliant performance, 23 points, a dozen assists. Serge Ibaka with 20 points. Fred VanVleet ends up with 10, and he's in the starting lineup without Kawhi Leonard. He had 10 assists a couple of nights ago. Or maybe it was the first part of their back-to-back. The nights all blend together. That's the other thing that's so impressive about this Raptors win, is that they go into Oracle. They take out the defending champs on the second night of a back-to-back. And so they're now at 23-7, which is matching their best start in franchise history. And if you aren't yet convinced, I know they have to do it on the postseason stage, but this new formula, it's working. There's some good chemistry there, some good leadership, and I'm glad that Lowry has adjusted. He was admittedly upset with the trade that sent DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio and brought Kawhi to town along with Danny Green, and it took him a while. He wasn't thrilled and wasn't sure he wanted to play for the Raptors when they looked like this. But he settled in, and even without Kawhi for a couple of games, the Raptors have enough firepower and a really balanced attack. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Elsewhere in basketball on Wednesday night, Kyrie Irving finishes with 38 points and 7 assists, and the Celtics edge the Wizards in overtime. And despite the slow start, the Celtics have now won 7 games in a row. So they've gone from 500, like 10 wins, 10 losses, to now 17-10 and are inching their way northward in the Eastern Conference standings. Long season, long way to go, but they seemingly have recovered from what they did at the beginning. And you can imagine why it was tough to kind of reassimilate Irving as well as bring Gordon Hayward back into the mix. And then you think about the young guys who had so many touches last year and played such major roles, and now everybody's got to adjust when you put 2 all-stars on the court again. And so Kyrie's playing really well again, 38.7 assists, and the Celtics have now won 7 in a row while the Wizards are going the wrong direction again. And the brow, Anthony Davis, powers the Pelicans over Oklahoma City. And with everything so tight in the NBA in the Western Conference, I mean, I told you this last night meaning the last show, depending on when you're listening, it could have been yesterday morning. But in the West, you've got the top 12 teams all separated by 5 games. And just the top 8 who would be in the playoffs right now, the top 8 in the West are all separated by just 3 games. I mean, think about that. 8 teams, just 3 games separating them. And so the Thunder lose last night and they drop down to third in the Western Conference standings. But the Pelicans are trying to get back up into that playoff picture. They've now put themselves at 500, and Anthony Davis had 44 points. He was perfect at the free throw line, 11 for 11. Also 18 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Pretty impressive the way that not just him, but the Pelicans as a team decided to play inside-out basketball. You don't see it a lot. It's not the favored mode of playing anymore in the NBA. I miss the back to the basket. I miss the pounding it into the paint. But that's something that, because of Davis and because of what he represents, the athleticism, the Pelicans can do well.
I think anytime you can score 74 points in the paint, then, you know, getting the ball to the basket. That's why, I mean, we only ended up with 4 threes, you know, for the game, but that's okay if we're getting the ball to the basket like that.
Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the Pelicans, who sees them back at 500. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Lots of you tweeting me, trying to come up with the 8 teams that haven't made the playoffs in the NFL the last 3 years. It's not as easy as you think. And some of the common wrong answers are the Redskins, the Dolphins, the Raiders, another common wrong answer. I've also seen the Broncos from multiple tweets and Facebook posts, and the Broncos won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It's hard to remember, to think back. The Cardinals, another popular wrong answer. So it's 8 teams that have not made the playoffs in the NFL the last 3 years, though some of that could change in these final 3 weeks of the regular season. There are some extended postseason droughts in serious danger. Let's go to the phones here. David is in Fort Worth. David, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to just get your opinion on the Mavericks and Luka Doncic. I mean, it just seems like every game he gets better. And like,
I hope so.
He shines when he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty incredible rookie. And just in last night's game against the Atlanta Hawks, coming up with 24 points and a double-double with the 10 rebounds and also having a half dozen assists. I mean, I think he's one of the rookies who is prepared for the stage. But as you point out, it's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to watch it. It's entirely different to play it and to go through the grind night in and night out. And that's really the biggest learning curve for rookies when they get to the NBA. They've never played a season that stretches this long and requires so many road trips and, you know, the travel that's so difficult. It seems like it goes on interminably. It's months and months and months. And so at some point, generally rookies hit a wall, but right now he's adjusting. He's got fresh legs. He's playing well. I like his versatility. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And what's really cool is that he has Dirk, the GOAT, teaching him everything. And, you know, the fade back, the jump shot, I mean, it's awesome. And do you think he could win Rookie of the Year, or do you think it's going to be dude from Atlanta?
Well, I think the Dallas Mavericks are very fortunate. I mean, it's been one of the most amazing things for that organization, obviously, to have a Hall of Famer who is not only loved the city and loved the franchise and helped them win a title, but also wants to be there, doesn't want to go anywhere else. It's got such a great love affair with that city. I mean, that's priceless. You don't get that very often in sports.
Thank you, Amy, for taking my call.
You're welcome. Have a great day, David. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We just dug up some Kyle Lowry post, and I know I'm kind of circling back. I generally don't like to do this, but I was asking Dave to come up with some post-game reaction from Oracle after this impressive win. And not just that, but the Raptors are 4-0 on this California road swing. California road swing? Yeah. No, California swing? I don't know. That sounded weird. So actually, Kyle Lowry likes the challenge, which we know, but particularly playing against the Warriors in their own building.
I love Oracle. I love the fans here. I love the building. I don't. I think they're moving to a new building next year. So, you know, it's going to be a missed place, but you know, it's special. This is a great building. The atmosphere is unbelievable. They've done special things here, but you know, it's just a great building.
it is. If you don't mind the fans being all against you and the wave, the cacophony of sound, it certainly is a great atmosphere. It's the kind of atmosphere that you would always want to play in yourself. Now, in Toronto, they have incredible fans, too. And so he understands what it's like to play in front of a passionate audience. But yeah, I mean, the Warriors have given their fans something to cheer about. They put on a show. I don't know that they still release the confetti every time they win a game, but remember going back a few years, like every time they won at home, they would fire off the old confetti cannons. Whatever, if it makes the fans happy. I mean, what's the going rate of confetti? It can't be that expensive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So are you ready? Are you ready for the 8 teams in the NFL that have not made the playoffs, which incidentally is a fourth? It's 25% of the NFL that has missed the playoffs. We get a lot of turnover. Actually, in my column, I talk about the teams that are poised to potentially go worst to first in 2018. It happens every year. It also happens the opposite, that we get teams that go from first to worst. They bottom out. And it seems like it happens every year in the NFC East. So last year, we had the Eagles go from basement of the NFC East to first place in their division and then obviously on to win the Super Bowl. This year, we've got a couple candidates for worst to first. So I talk about that and the postseason droughts that are on the line. And also a couple of Cinderella stories that I think you should get behind. So please check out the column. I don't want to sit here and read it to you because that would really belie the purpose of actually posting a column. So if you could check it out, that would make me happy. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And so many of you have tried to answer this question. Brian, how long do you think you spent attempting to answer this trivia question once I gave it to you at the beginning of the show?
It was definitely the first 2 hours of the show that I was looking it up.
You should have seen his face. I was actually a little concerned that he wasn't paying attention to what was happening on the air, though he's done very well multitasking. But he came in here multiple times with different lists. And I would tell him, okay, that one's wrong. You've got five. Now you've got six. Gah! And
those were just rough drafts, Amy.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you allowed Dave to throw you off the scent. Dave was trying to get you looking in the wrong direction so that he could beat you. That's how competitive it got in there. Dave, did you ever get all eight?
I didn't. I can't lie. I only got seven, and I somehow morphed that Titans-Chiefs game into that being the Colts. And
it happens. Happens to me all the time. I remember things, and I'm positive that I remember them the right way. And no, I didn't remember them at all the right way. So, yeah, when you do this for a living, sometimes it gets all jumbled together in a mess in your brain. Okay, here are the 8 teams that have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years in the NFL. I'll give you the ones that I think would be relatively easy to come up with. The Cleveland Browns. They have not been in the postseason since 2002. The New York Jets have not been in the playoffs going back to the Rex Ryan years and the AFC championships. And they got close with Ryan Fitzpatrick in Todd Bowles' first year, but not in this current era have they made the playoffs. The Baltimore Ravens is a little trickier, but they have had some injury-ravaged years, and they have not been in the playoffs in the last 3 seasons. The Los Angeles Chargers have not been to the postseason since Philip Rivers was a spring chicken of 32 years old. So they haven't been in it since 2013. The Niners haven't been as well since 2013 and the end of the Jim Harbaugh era in San Francisco. The Bucks haven't been to the playoffs in more than a decade. And that leaves me with the Indianapolis Colts, which is one that people tripped up on a bunch. They forget that going back to the AFC Championship game following the 2014 season, when Andrew Luck was healthy, playing well, that was the last time we saw the Colts in the playoffs. Now, they're poised. They're at 7-6. Will they end that drought? We shall see. So much to be decided in week 15. It's a doubleheader day Sunday. Miami takes on Minnesota. Then it's New England and Pittsburgh. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. Back tonight, After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.